Welcome to the space show, Josh.
Well, thank you for having us. It's great to be here.
What is Mars One?
So Mars One is an international not-for-profit organisation based in the Netherlands, and they have the stated goal of colonising Mars.
And how do they plan to do that?
Over a while. It's going to take a little while to do it. I suppose the primary thing most people know of Mars One, because they have the plan of sending people one way. It is a colonisation mission. They're sending them essentially there to stay, and we're not going to have the return vehicles. We're not going to have those sort of technologies that people like NASA or ESA have talked about. We're going there to live permanently on the surface.
So it's not a suicide mission?
See, it's interesting. People turn around and call it a suicide mission. I guess you could call living on Earth a suicide mission, because you're going to die here eventually as well. So, it's interesting hearing people call it that. We are going to another planet to die, but hopefully not on impact, and hopefully not for quite some time.
Yes. So there must be parallels then between the migrants who have travelled from one country to another, knowing that they're not going to come back, for example, from Europe to Australia.
Yeah, there's definitely sort of parallels there. I suppose when the migrants were leaving those areas to come to, say, Australia or the US, they knew that there was oxygen in the US or in Australia. But other than that, there's definitely parallels. There's definitely the idea of being a pioneer, going somewhere you've never been before, having to build the infrastructure, having to build the systems that will essentially keep you living, having to support all of that. So it's definitely harks back to that kind of that time of being a pioneer.
Will you actually be growing your own food there? Getting water from there, or will you need to be supplied from Earth?
So when we arrive initially, there'll be about 6 years' worth of food waiting for us that's been sent as part of supplies. But the very first thing we're going to be doing is trying to grow our own food. The idea is to try and sort of establish some form of independence from Earth. So the idea is, start growing our own food. We'll be extracting water out of the soil to provide oxygen, to provide water for us to drink and bathe and all those sort of things. And the idea is to be as independent as possible. There'll be some things that we need resupplied, but we're trying to essentially set up a sustainable colony that's independent.
Well, Josh, could you take us through a sort of a timeline? Training, launch, journey on Mars.
Yes, sure. So the next stage for me, I suppose, in terms of the training side of things, we have 100 candidates in the running currently. They're going to cut that group down to 24. It will be September next year. We essentially get all 100 together and see how we work together in teams, work together as groups. There'll be a significant cuts very early on in the two-week assessment phase, and then they'll stick probably about 40 of us in some sort of isolation and see how we operate under that. Then put us through quite an extensive interview, and they'll pick 24 of us to become full-time employees to start training for the 10 years that it's going to take before we're slated to launch in September 2026. Before that happens, we need to work on a whole series of different systems. Essentially, we're going to be sending a probe that's based on the NASA Phoenix lander that essentially was scouting out water on the North Pole. We'll be sending that to where we think would be the best place to set up a colony, checking that there's water, checking that the resources that we're going to need are there in place, and testing a few technologies at the same time. If it proves to be the right place, that lander then becomes a beacon that we start sending supplies to. So start sending life support systems, start sending habitats, all of that will then be set up robotically by rovers. Once we've got a fully functioning colony on the surface of Mars with reserves of oxygen, with a livable habitat waiting for humans, then we'll be getting inside a capsule, and we'll have four of us that are launching from there. But no one's going to be leaving low Earth orbit until we've got somewhere safe to go that's been effectively set up by robots. So however long that takes, we will change the timeline to make sure it's safe for people.
So the first crew is crew of four, followed by
another crew 26 months later, hopefully. So the idea is that the crews are selected based on how they get along with each other. There's a few basic requirements, like being over 18, being fit and healthy, and being able to get along with people, and they were the basic requirements to apply in the first place. From there, Mars One have essentially selected the folks that they think have the best personality. It's not about skills, it's not about experience or things like that. It's about how you relate to other people. So you actually want someone who gets along really well in a shared house rather than someone who's an amazing fighter pilot and things like that. You can train people to learn the skills that they need to learn. You can't necessarily teach them to get along with other people really well. So we'll hopefully have, the idea is to have two men and two women, and they will be representing four corners of the globe, regardless of where anyone was born, representing all of the planet.
How long would the journey take to get to Mars?
So the September 2026 window, the alignment there works out to about 210 days for us, so it's roughly 7 month trip. That window varies a little bit with each sort of alignment, but ours will be 210 days.
Launch vehicle.
There's a lot of talk about different launch vehicles. Mars One have designed one themselves. They had an architect, a space architect, who worked alongside them for quite a few years, and he essentially designed a transit habitat. There's a lot of discussion about who and what we would use, but the reality is it's quite a few years off before we'd need to make a decision like that. Mars One's very much focused on the basics, getting the basics right, finding the appropriate landing site, making sure we can get supplies there in the first place, and then we'll start working, work out how we're going to get there. Do the basics first.
So realistically, as things stand at the moment, there's Arianespace, the Ariane 5, there's India, perhaps, or China, the United States, yeah.
Well, I think the one that everyone's very excited about, particularly in the States, and again, there's been no official agreement between Mars One and this organisation yet, but I know a lot of people are very excited about the Falcon Heavy launch that's slated for early next year through SpaceX, and I suspect that if any organisation is going to support people colonising Mars, it'll be Elon Musk and SpaceX.
Now, Josh, what's your background that you bring to this?
I have a very diverse background. I haven't stayed in one area for particularly long. I originally studied applied physics and psychology at university, graduated, and then I'd been spending time with the Army prior to that, and did a little bit more time working as a combat engineer. So my background's very much in explosives and that side of things. I worked in the mines for 12 months as an explosives engineer. I then got back into the military, went and served with the British Commandos for about 12 months, bounced around and did a whole bunch of things. So I worked for an artist in the UK for most of a year as his science advisor. I suppose the job that most people know me for, though, is having worked as a stand-up comic. I started comedy in 2008, from memory. It may even have been the end of 2007. But, worked in stand-up comedy for quite some time, and that's actually how I discovered Mars One in the first place. I had decided to write a comedy show about sending people one way to Mars, and I discovered an organisation trying to do it. So rather than saying we should do this, I put my hand up to do it.
Well, it's a long time till launch. What are you planning to do in the meantime?
I suppose I'm still working in comedy. That's the big thing for me. I've got a part-time job at the moment working in a school as a lab manager, but next year it's very much about getting back into stand-up. And interestingly enough, the show that I'm writing at the moment for, the Adelaide Fringe and the Melbourne Comedy Festival next year is based around answering exactly that question. Turn around and going, if you've got 10 years left to live on Earth, what would you do with your time? If you knew that it was all going to be finished in 10 years, what experiences would you want to have? What kind of relationships do you have? What sort of answering all of those kind of questions? So, yeah, it's actually the premise of my next show.
Well, we'll have to keep up with you then and see what you're doing.
Thank you. It'll be good.
Well, thanks for joining us, Josh, on The Space Show.
Thank you so much for having me.